Podcast 23, Forgiveness. The Gospel passage for today's podcast is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. What does it really mean to forgive someone? We often learn about it as a practice from a very young age, being taught from a very young age to say, "I'm sorry," and then, "It's okay, I forgive you," when something happens that hurts another person. But as we get older and life gets more complicated, we discover there is far more to it than your cart bumping into someone else at the grocery store, or even taking someone else's toy away in the sandbox. The truth is that life sometimes hurts, not in just in general, but in specific, tangible ways that cause us real harm, emotionally, mentally, and even physically. And when we are hurt, or when someone we love is injured, forgiveness is often the farthest thing from our first response. Sure, we hear the countless instructions to forgive, but when it comes down to putting them into practice, we balk. Perhaps we don't quite know what forgiveness really looks like, or how exactly we are to go about it. That essentially is the question Peter is asking Jesus at the onset of today's gospel lesson. His suggestion of forgiving seven times is no accident. Seven is the Hebrew number of perfection. Peter, not surprisingly, wants to get it right. He's not asking the rabbi for what the bare minimum requirement is to pass the class. He doesn't want to get a C. Peter wants to ace it with a perfect A. Jesus replies, though, with an astronomical figure, 70 times 7. And this isn't just maths to get him to the number 490. It's the response that forgiveness requires something even beyond perfection. Let that sink in for a minute. The goal of the perfection of perfection, infinity times infinity. No wonder we have such a hard time doing it. However, there is hope in this initial response from Jesus. He indicates that forgiveness is not so much a checklist or sticker chart or final exam, but instead it is about ongoing discipleship. Put another way, forgiveness must become a way of life. One illustration of this can be seen in the Amish community in the USA. Typically, when we think of the Amish, our first images are of horses with buggies and quilts and barn raisings. But an even better marker of Amish life and culture is seen in the practice of their faith. Amish people are likely to say that they are simply trying to be obedient to Jesus Christ, who commanded his followers to do so many peculiar things, such as love, bless, and forgive their enemies. An example of the application of costly forgiveness in the Amish community can be seen from a tragedy that occurred on October the 2nd, 2006. In the small town of Nickel Mines, about 30 or 40 people lived there. A gunman entered the local one-room school, leading to a hostage situation that eventually resulted in 5 schoolgirls being killed and 5 others seriously wounded. It was a devastating time that rocked the small, close-knit community and brought about intense media coverage at the time. Almost as shocking as the violence, though, was the response from the families and the community of the victims. Even as outsiders were responding with compassion for the Amish community in the wake of this shooting, the Amish themselves were doing something else. Softly, subtly, and quietly, they were beginning the difficult task of forgiveness. Within a few hours of the shooting, some Amish people were already reaching out to the killer's family. Some went to find the gunman's wife, children, and extended family, offering words of sympathy and love and forgiveness. As cameras and bright lights shone in field interviews and questions came from TV hosts, the refrain from the victims was similar. The Amish insisted that they forgave the gunman almost immediately. A few days later, the community showed up at the gunman's funeral because he killed himself after shooting his victims. And they even reached out with financial support for his family. Several weeks later, they met with his wife and other members of his family at a local firehouse. In each of these, and the relationship-building instances that followed, the Amish community modeled an authentic and powerful witness of what forgiveness looks like. It almost sounds too good to be true, and inconceivable to even those who consider themselves to be faithful Christians. In the face of tragedy and other instances of loss and pain, both intentional and accidental, the Amish seem to do the impossible. For the Amish, forgiveness is a way of life. It is some of what marks them as a community, and it is practiced in smaller ways, which makes the practice of it on such epic levels as this incident not as outlandish as it may seem. This fits with the understanding of the pattern that Jesus gave to Peter, a repeated, ongoing forgiveness, 70 times 7, might lead to an embodiment of it even in the most trying of circumstances. In order to embody this radical way of living, it might be good to try to name what exactly forgiveness is. Forgiveness, on its most basic level, is a letting go. Many offer that it is a choice that we make, regardless of remorse shown. It is both psychological and social. It happens both internally within ourselves and externally as we engage with other people. Presbyterian minister, writer, and retreat leader Marjorie Thompson writes, "To forgive is to make a conscious choice to release the person who has wounded us from the sentence of our judgment, however justified that judgment may be. It represents a choice to leave behind our resentment and desire for retribution, however fair such punishment may seem. Forgiveness means the power of the original wound's power to hold us trapped is broken." For me, the most powerful recent example of costly forgiveness in the New Zealand context occurred at the trial of the gunman who killed 51 people at the two mosques in Christchurch. Jana Ezzat, whose son Hussein Al-Umari was murdered at Al-Nur Mosque, told the gunman in her witness impact statement she forgave him. "I decided to forgive you, Mr. Tarrant, because I don't have hate, I don't have revenge," she said directly to the terrorist. "In our Muslim faith, we say, we are able to forgive. Forgive. I forgive you. Damage was done and Hussein will never be here, so I only have only one choice, to forgive you." Tarrant, the gunman, nodded in acknowledgement of her words before blinking profusely and wiping one of his eyes. It was his only show of emotion for that whole day in court. So it's only by the power and grace of God, I believe, that such costly declarations can be made. Forgiveness is freeing, for more than just the one who might receive it. It's freeing for the one who does the forgiving. The benefits continue. Scientific research shows that forgiveness has a whole range of both mental and physical benefits. A quote from the scientific journal on this paper on this says, "Forgiveness is good for the person who offers it, reducing anger, depression, anxiety, and fear, and affording cardiovascular and immune system benefits." But as with most things that are ultimately good for us, it's often not the most attractive option unless we make efforts for it to become our pattern. Our nature seems to be to get sucked into our own anger and the need for revenge to settle the score. Such an attitude breeds resentment, which is when we relive that anger over and over again. Incidentally, that's one of the signs you haven't really forgiven, if you are reliving all of these emotions over and over again. Forgiveness calls for a release of those things that bind us. This is what makes it such a theologically important concept. When we let go of that resentment and anger and relinquish the grudges we have, we open up space. Space to experience all of the other emotions present in our lives. Space to experience grief if we need to grieve, joy and hope in the promises of a brighter tomorrow, and time to work through other things that prevent us from living the lives God intends for us. Most of all, forgiveness offers us the space to experience God's grace and love more fully. I think that's what Jesus was hoping for in his conversation with Peter and the following parable, that the lives of his disciples would be marked by forgiveness and mercy. Forgiveness calls attention to our humanness at its most human. It reduces us to our most base of instincts and challenges us with the hard work of responding in the way of Christ instead. Examples like that of the Amish or the lessons taught by Jesus can be daunting. They are big, larger than seems possible. But we need such big images to begin to wrap our heads around forgiveness being part of the nature of God. And such seemingly unreachable examples might just be what we need to take even a little step in the direction forgiveness calls. One opportunity at a time, then seven, then 70 times seven. May we, little by little, move more into the ways of God's mercy. Amen.